My soul proclaims the greatness of the Lord. My spirit rejoices in God, my Savior. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The Feast of the Assumption is a day of great joy. And the reason, brothers and sisters, is because God won. Love is won. Death and corruption and sin, which conquer everything and always for all of history, has won, didn't win in the Blessed Virgin Mary, our mother. Didn't win. And that's what we celebrate today. They cease to have their effect in Mother Mary, whom God perfectly loved, and whom Mary responded in perfect love to God, and he won that grace for her. Mother Mary, what we celebrate today is that she was taken up body and soul into heaven. Not just soul, but body and soul. And it shows us that even within heaven, God has room for the body. Not just for a soul, but for this fleshy thing that each one of us bears today. That same thing is going to be raised up. And Mary is the only person in all of creation, other than Christ, her divine Son, who has that at this moment. All the rest of the souls for all of creation are awaiting that resurrection. But not Mary. Not our mother. We have a mother in heaven, and that's an even greater thing. That she's there. She's the mother of God. Yes, she's the mother of Jesus, but she's also our mother too. That's what Jesus said on the cross, remember? When he looked down, one of his seven last words, and he says, "Behold, your mother." She's our mother. And because of that, we can recognize, yes, we have a mother in heaven, which means that there is a motherly heart in heaven. A motherly heart that reaches out to us wherever it is that we may find ourselves in, whatever difficulty we're struggling with, we have a motherly heart in Mary reaching out to us. And so what our gospel speaks about today that Deacon Marvin read for us, we heard that beautiful hymn of praise, the Magnificat, which Our Lady just erupted from her soul in the midst of recognizing what God has done for her. In a Holy Spirit-inspired prayer that passed through her lips straight from the very heart of the Blessed Virgin, our Mother. And what we see when we look at this prayer, we see the very soul of Mother Mary. We see her entire personality laid to bear for us. And this prayer lets us see what Mary is actually made of in her soul. And so I just want to hit one thing. Really, I just want to hit one word in that prayer. Because it's powerful. And that word is Magnificat. The first word of this beautiful prayer, which means my soul magnifies the Lord. My soul proclaims God's greatness. My soul is a magnifying glass which God uses. And because others view God through me, they see how great he is. That's who Mary is. See this. The one desire of our mother Mary was this, is for God to become great. To become great firstly within the world, to become great within her life as well, but also be great in the recognition of every single person present among us all. See, Mary wasn't afraid, our mother, she wasn't afraid that God might become a rival to her own greatness in some sort of way within our lives. She didn't fear that his greatness would somehow lessen her own greatness or her own freedom. She knew that if God was great, then we as his sons and daughters also can be great too. Our freedom is not lessened by God's greatness, but rather it is elevated to the highest and expanded from east to west. But what did our first parents do? Adam and Eve, what happened? Original sin, right? Original selfishness. And why did they do it? They did it because of this, because they feared that if God was too great, that he would steal something from their lives. That he would take something that made them individuals, made them free. They thought that if they could just set God aside, even for just a brief moment, then they could finally make room for themselves to grow as they wished. That's a great temptation in our world, right? Within each one of our lives, we see everywhere in the world, people always say, well, God does not give me the room to actually be free. All he does is he makes demands. He lays out these commandments. He really just cramps my style. That's not the way that I would go. And so what do? We try to make God disappear. Disappear from our world so that we can just do whatever it is we want. We want to be these independent thinkers who find our own way in some sort of sense. But if we take God out, what happens? Because then we get to become gods, right? We get to become gods and do whatever it is that we please without consequence. We see that in the prodigal son, right? The prodigal son, remember what happened with him. He thought that he was so restricted because he was living within his father's house, so that he left off to distant lands and squandered all that wealth which his father had given him as an inheritance. In the end, what happened is that he realized that from his grief and unhappiness, because he had run so far from God, far away from his father, instead of becoming free, what happened was that he actually became a slave. Became a slave to himself, feeding filthy pigs and wanting to eat those things which they ate, that swill. He understood that only by returning to his home, to his father's house, that he would actually be able to be free and to live a happy life to the end. Isn't that what happens in our world and within our own lives? Isn't that the same story of every soul that leaves away for college or goes away to live in the real world for the first time on their own? We never knew how good it was until it wasn't. The world feels that way. The world feels that way. It promises that if we just follow our own ideas about life, that if we just did what it is that we wanted without taking orders from mom or from dad or from God, that we'd really be free and happy. But when mom and dad disappear, we find ourselves thinking it's a feast when we're eating a bowl of ramen noodle soup. We think we're doing quite fine when we're setting up a table upon a cardboard box. We think we're doing great when the room and our clothes and everything reeks to high heaven because nobody has cleaned it. That's what life is without our mom and dad. But what happens when we throw God out? When we throw God out of our lives, men and women do not become greater in any way. Indeed, what they do is they lose their divine dignity. Their faces lose that joyful glow of being in the very presence of God Almighty here within the Eucharist. In the end, they turn out to be mere byproducts of blind evolution. And because of that, as such, they can be used and abused, tossed aside when they're no longer useful for everybody else. Enter in the Holocaust. Enter in all the slaughters in communist Russia and communist China, in communist Cuba. And that's exactly what's going on today in North Korea. Only if God is great, brothers and sisters, is humankind also great. With Mother Mary, we can begin to see this. When we look at Mother Mary, we can begin to recognize this truth, because Mother Mary never allows any of her children to drift away from God, but she always brings us back to his presence, to recognize that God is always present. She helps us to keep God great even within our own lives. And this allows us to see better our own divine sonship, our own divine daughterhood. To see that we are heirs of his everlasting kingdom, yes, in the life which is to come, but in the present life too. So we apply this to our own lives. And applying it to our own lives, we see that God has to be great among us within our public life, but also within our private life, in both spheres. In public life, it's important for us to make sure that God is present. For example, like how we often see in good public buildings, crosses on the sides of them and in various places. But even within our own lives, within our own front yards, where we put out those statues in the front so that everybody knows that God is present here, that this saint is venerated here, that Mary is lifted up and given her proper place in this home. By the various articles that we wear and show that we are Catholic, that we're Christian, that nothing can hide that. We're proud, not of ourselves, but of God who saves and Mary who is our mother. He has to be present also within our community life. For an example, like through prayers at our sports games. Why is it that we don't begin every single game which we play here in our school with a prayer to God? Are we not Catholic? Is not 85% of this town Catholic? Is not the rest of it some form of Protestant or some other thing who believes in God? Why do we not pray and put everything before Him? That's a great sadness. Only when we allow God to be present do we have an orientation, do we have a common direction within our lives, because otherwise what happens is that it becomes impossible for us to settle disputes or arguments within our world, because each one of us sees the other as an enemy instead of as my brother Catholic, my brother Christian, the one who is struggling alongside with me, because our common dignity is no longer recognized, which is Christ Himself. Let's make God great in our public and within our private lives. This means making room for God in our daily lives, starting with our morning prayers, which we offer first thing when we recognize that we're conscious, and then dedicating some specific time, 5 minutes, 10 minutes, whatever, throughout the day, say, this is God's time. And especially giving Sunday back to God, the whole of it, not just a part of it, not just the hour where you come to Mass, the whole of the day back to God, not wasting it on sinful shopping and other tiresome work. God gave the Sunday for us so that we could hold on to those things which are going to last in the world which is to come, not on those things that are going to be stolen or corrupted or lost eternally. Believe me, when we do not waste, we do not waste our free time when we offer it back to God. He multiplies it. God, if He enters into our time, all time becomes greater, becomes more roomier and spacious, becomes richer. Finally, brothers and sisters, when Mary was taken up body and soul into the glories of heaven as our mother with God, she becomes the queen of heaven and of earth. But is she really far away from us because she was taken from us? Absolutely not. In fact, she is not. It's the opposite, because with God and in God, she's very close to each and every one of us, wherever we find ourselves to be. On earth, what happened was that she could only be close to a few people in a specific location in the world where most people weren't. But when she was assumed body and soul into heaven, being in God who is close to us, actually within each and every one of us, Mary shares that same closeness with God. So being in God and with God, Mary is close to each and every one of us. Mother Mary knows our hearts. Mother Mary can hear our prayers when we call upon her. She can help us with her motherly tenderness and kindness. Mother Mary has been given to each one of us just as Jesus said. She is a mother to whom we can turn to at every moment, over and over again. She always listens to us. Mother Mary is always close to us. Mother Mary, yes, the mother of Jesus. And because of that, she has special access to the divine power, to God's own goodness, which she shares liberally with each of her children. On this feast day of the Assumption, let's thank the Lord. Let's thank the Lord for the gift of our Mother Mary, and let us pray to her for help so that we can find the right path, the right direction within our daily lives, each and every day. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Brethren, let your souls magnify the Lord to proclaim His greatness, so that others, when looking through you as through the lens of Mother Mary, they can see how great our God is and enter into His friendship. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.